The opening pasuk in Parshas Bo, Kadosh Baruch Hu uses a very strange expression. He tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Bo el Paro. He sends Moshe Rabbeinu to serve as a shliach, to speak to Paro. Instead of saying, Lech el Paro, he tells him, Bo el Paro. Bo usually say, when you tell someone, come to me. What do you need a shliach? Your shliach, let's say, a man wants to divorce his wife. He lives in New York and the wife lives in California. So he sends the get, the shliach l'haylocha. He sends someone who's going to California and makes him a shliach to give the get to the wife in California. So he says, Lech, go to California. But if the husband is going there to California and he tells the shliach, Bo el California, what do you need the shliach for? Let the mishalech do it in person. Here there are Rabbanu Shel Olam all over the world. So that's why he used the expression, Bo el Paro, I'm going to be there when you come to Paro. So what does he need a shliach for? So Rav Soloveitchik has a whole essay where he points out HaKadosh Baruch Hu authorizes us to act as his shluchim, even though he doesn't need us for the shliach, he can do everything on his own. He wants us to give us this chus. He asks us to take care of something in this world. He can take care of it if he wants to. He wants to give us this chus that we are functioning as a shluchim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a big shchiyah in a certain sense that the Gemara has a klal shlucho shel adam kir moisoi. So when the Rebbeinu Shel Olam appoints us as a shliach, so in a certain sense we become kemoisa, we become nisala. We don't become kemoisa literally, that like the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, but we become sort of shutfim with the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. We're doing the job for him, so we get the status of shlucho shel adam kemoisa. So it's lezakas haisanu to be mezakas. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam asks us to take care of certain shlichasin, even though he's gone there anyway, he can take care of it on his own. It's to be mezakah human beings. In Parshas Bo, you have already a ton of mitzvahs. Rashi, in his opening comment on Bereishis, quotes in the Medrash on Rabbi Yitzchok, the Torah should really begin with HaChodesh HaZalachem Reish Chadoshim, and that's the first mitzvah that was given to Klal Yisrael as a whole nation. Exactly what mitzvah is this HaChodesh HaZalachem Reish Chadoshim? So the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvahs usually has a short paragraph on every mitzvah. Here on this mitzvah, he has a long arichas. He has a lot to say. Mitzvah says in Kuf Nun Gimel. I don't remember the numbers of the other mitzvahs, but this one is famous. Mitzvah says in Kuf Nun Gimel. And the Rama has a long arichas. He says that this mitzvah has two parts to it. Kiddush HaChodesh and Nibra HaShana. Kviyas HaLuach is one mitzvah. The mitzvah is HaChodesh HaZeh Lochem. Who is Lochem? Moshe V'Yaharon were two members of the Bezdin. And we have a rule in Bezdin Shokul. Masifim Alayim Oed Echod. You're not supposed to have... You can't constitute a bezin with an even number of dayanim. You have to have an odd number in case there'll be a split vote. So you have to have shouldn't be a tie. So the Gemara knows that out from a pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim, main bezin shokol. So it says Moshe v'Aaron, the two members of the bezin, and then it's understood you have to add a third member to the bezin. Achodesh Zalachem. It's up to the bezin to determine kiddush achodesh and ibra shana. That's how the Rambam says that. The Rambam quotes the Mechilta that it's up to the bezin hagodol to do this. The Ramban disagrees with the Rambam on two points, on two scores. Number one, he says, Bez Nagodol, that's what it says in the Mechilta, that you need Bez Nagodol. So the Ramban thinks, when there is a Bez Nagodol, it's not proper that any three rabbis, Rabbi Tom, Rabbi Dick, and Rabbi Harry, Tom, Dick, and Harry will constitute a Bezen, and they'll decide when Rosh Chodesh should be. And these three guys are going to decide for all of Klal Yisrael. They're going to determine for everybody. They're going to decide when my kid's bar mitzvah is going to be. Whether it's going to be a Shana Muberes or Shana Pshuta. They're going to push off my kid's bar mitzvah for a month or have it a month earlier. It's any three people will get together. So the Ramban says, strictly speaking, Kol HaKodim Zocha, whichever three Rabbonim constitute a Bezdin and they declared should be a Shana Muberes or Shana Pshuta or Rosh Chodesh, whatever, Kol HaKodim Zocha. But since it's a Psak that's Nogeh to all of Klal Yisrael, so it's not Derech Eretz that any old Bezdin should rush in and determine this. When you have a Bezdin HaGadol, it should be under the auspices of the Bezdin HaGadol. The three members don't have to be members of the Bezdin HaGadol. Even the Rambam writes like that. It has to be authorized by the Bezdin HaGadol. But to say that it's Likuva, that the Iker Mitzvah is up to the Bezdin HaGadol, the Ramban disagrees with the Ram. How can that be? We know that until the days of Abai V'Rov lived in Bavel, so you can't do Kiddush HaChodesh in Bavel. But their counterpart in Eretz Yisrael, the Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael was still doing Kiddush HaChodesh al Pi HaRiyah deep into the days of the Amoraim. Abai V'Rava was way after the Churban Abayis. Bez Nagodol ceased to exist 40 years before the Churban Abayis. The Churban Abayis was in the year 70, so 40 years before the year 30. So it says Golos HaSanhedrin. The Sanhedrin went into Golos. And Bizman, the Gemara learns out from the Pasuk, Malam Shahamakam Gorim, it says, you have to go to Yerushalayim to Bezna Gorl, whatever they pass in his binding. So the Gemara learns out from the Pasuk. The status of the Bezna Gorl, the Ramban understands, Bezna Gorl only has the special status when they're meeting in their official location in the Lishkas HaGozes. If the Bezna Gorl is Mitzona Beis Pagi, Beis Pagi means Poyal Agudas Yisrael. Pagi is a Russian term, it's Poyal Agudas Yisrael. But in the Gemara, it doesn't mean Poyal Agudas Yisrael. Beis Pageho, the Gemara has Chamora Beis Pageho, a Gemara in Boba Metzia. So Chamora Beis Pageho means a donkey with the saddle and the things that are tied onto the donkey. Beis Pageho means the whatever is attached to it. So Beis Pagi means on the outskirts of Yerushalayim. It's not a specific location. It's an expression that means something that's attached to something else, something that's appended to something else. So the Gemara has a brisa, Mitzona Beis Pagi, if the Zokim Mamre asked the Shaila of the Bezna Gorl when they were on the outskirts of Yerushalayim. They were in Beit Vagan. Beit Vagan is not the Ir Atika. So if the Bezna Gorl, all 71 members are there, and the issue of Psak, and the Zokim Mamre passes against them, so the Gemara says he's not Chayv Misa because they only have the status of Bezna Gorl when Malamit Shamokim Gurm, if they're in the Lishkas HaGozes. So Ramban asked on the Rambam. The Rambam quoted this Mechilta on today's Sedra that Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibra Hashana has to be done by the Bezna Gorl. So he says it's true, when there is a Bezna Gorl, it's not Derech Eretz that any three Rabbanim who have bona fide smicha should decide for all of Klal Yisrael. It should be centrally... It should be a decision that's made by some central bezin that's negate to everybody. But he said, "Bizman shein bezna gadol, you don't need a bezna gadol." And the Rambam presents it differently, that this is a din that you need bezna gadol. Says, how can it be? Till the days of Abai Verova, they still did Kiddush HaChodesh HaPi Ariya, and the bezna gadol ceased to exist 40 years before the Churban Abayis. So apparently the Rambam thinks that the bezna gadol only requires Lishkas HaGozes. That's what the... On the side of the Sefer HaMitzvahs, you have the Megillah Esther as the commentary who comes to answer all the kashas of the Ramban against the Rambam. You have other commentaries also. So the Megillah Esther writes, apparently the Rambam is of the opinion that halachim, alam shamachim garim, is only a din in Zokim Mamre. It's not a din in all halachas. A din in the Foshas, the Gemara says, the last 40 years before the Churban Abayis, no Sanhedrin in the world can be done din in the Foshas, because they have to all, it's one big system of Sanhedrois. So the Sanhedric Tana all over the world and every community has to be connected with the Sanhedric Doilo. Sanhedric Doilo for the purposes of Din and Nefoshes has to have Malama and Shamokim Garim. But for all the other intents and purposes, the Bezna Gadol can still continue to function even if they're no longer in the Lishkas HaGozes. So that's why the Gemara says they still had the practice of having Soita. Soita has to go also to the Bezna Gadol. So they discontinued Hashkas HaSoita years before the Churban Abayis, but not 40 years before. So Tosafot says the Kasha, they should have discontinued 40 years before, because he's supposed to bring the Soita to the Bezna Gadol. There is no Bezna Gadol. So Tosafot works on that Kasha. So the Kevinoira writes on that Tosafot's Kasha and Soita, the same answer that the Megillah Esther gives. The Rambam, according to the Rambam, the Kasha is not a Kasha. The Din of Malam Shamok and Gorim is not a Din. There's no Din of Bezna Gadol. Apparently the Rambam thinks the Bezna Gadol institution continued in Eretz Yisrael till the days of Abai Verova. Their counterparts in Eretz Yisrael had a body of 71 Chachamim who were meeting from time to time, and they still maintained the status of a Bezna Gadol. How do you have Kiddush HaChodesh Bizman HaZeh? That's a shaila. According to the Rambam, how do you have Kiddush HaChodesh? According to everybody, how do you have? Nobody has any smicha today. Even the Ramban says you don't need Bezna Gadol, but he holds that you have to have a Bezna of three smuchim. So how do we have Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibra Hashanah Bizman HaZeh? So the Ramban there in the Sefer HaMitzvah says that Hillel HaSheni, who was the chief rabbi, sort of, in the days of Abai V'Rava, who lived in Bavel, he was their counterpart in Eretz Yisrael. Hillel HaSheni was Mekadosh Ola Chadoshim, Ola Rosh Chadoshim, and was Ma'aber Ola Shonim Adbiyas HaGoyel, till Mashiach will come. When Eliyahu HaNavi will come, and Mashiach will come, and Eliyahu HaNavi will confer smicha, and will constitute a new Bezna Gadol, so then the kviyas that Hillel HaSheni made will no longer continue, and then the Bezna Gadol will do Kiddush HaChodesh HaPi Ariya. Yibur Hashana, based on the witnesses coming and testifying that we have to make Shana Muberes, and they'll negotiate, they'll discuss it. But up until the days that Eliyahu HaNavi will come till Moshiach, Illa Sheni was Mekadosh Sholach Hadoshim, Ma'aba all the Shanim in advance. That's how the Ramban says. The Rambam says not so. The Rambam says that the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael are being Mekadosh Sholach Hadoshim and Ma'aba the Shanim today. So the Chasam Sofer has a tshuva where he says, what Jews living in Eretz Yisrael? What, they had people who had smicha, they had rabbonim in Eretz Yisrael? In the days of the Rambam, there was nobody there. There were a couple of Jewish farmers there. So Chasam Sofer says, yes, the 10 Jewish farmers. The 10 Jewish farmers were Amaratzim, the overwhelming 99.99% of the Jewish population. Well, Jewish population lives all over the world. In Spain, in Egypt, wherever, in the days of the Rambam, wherever the Jews lived. And there's a tiny percentage of Jews live in Eretz Yisrael. So the Chasam Sofer says, those 10 farmers who live in Eretz Yisrael, that's called Klal Yisrael. And Klal Yisrael are the ones who do Kiddush HaChodesh and Yibur HaShanah. The fact that you need Bez Nagadol to do it, it's not Bez Nagadol B'Torah, the Supreme Court of the Jewish people. It's not such a complicated psak that you have to have the greatest minds, the greatest legal minds in Klal Yisrael. It's a psak that, it's not an issue of a psak so much. Bez Nagadol has the second status. The two parishes are Bez Nagadol. So one parish, Bez Nagadol, is the Supreme Court to make all the final decisions. No one's allowed to pass in against them. And number two, the Bez Nagadol represents Das Rov Yisrael. So Kiddush HaChodesh and Yibur HaShanah is really supposed to be done by Klal Yisrael. Bez Nagadol does it representing Klal Yisrael. When you no longer have a Bez Nagadol, so then the mitzvah goes back to Klal Yisrael. That's how Rav Soloveitchik gave the first Yahrzeit Drasha. Rav Soloveitchik had Yahrzeit for his father on Gimel Shvat. That's tomorrow. It's Gimel Shvat. So every year for many years, his father died in 1941. So the year after, 1942, he gave the first Yahrzeit Drasha on this topic, of Kiddush HaChodesh, of Pihariya, and he gave the Shia. Then for many years, he gave a Yahrzeit Drasha for over 30 years, till he was already too old and weak to continue. He used to give a major shir on the night of the Yahrzeit on Gimel Shvat. He used to give a shir for 4 hours, at least 4 hours he used to be. He used to give a shir for 2 hours on Halach, and then 2 hours Hashkofa, Agarata. So the first shir was on this topic, that basically what the Chasam Sofer says and the Avnei Nezer has. You look in the Avnei Nezer, the first two tshuvas and the second chelak Arachayim are about Kiddush HaChodesh and Yibur HaShanah on this topic. So he quotes this tshuvas Chasam Sofer, that the reason why Kiddush HaChodesh and Yibur HaShanah has to be dafke done in Eretz Yisrael, why can't you do it in a Chutz Laretz? So the Rambam and the Sefer HaMitzvos writes, because only the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael are considered Klal Yisrael. The Jews who live in Chutz Laretz are Jewish, they have Kedushas Yisrael. They're Chai B'Mitzvahs because they have Kedushas Yisrael. But they're not really part of Klal Yisrael. The Yikud Tziruf of Klal Yisrael only applies to those Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael. So that's why Kiddush HaChodesh and Yibur HaShanah has to be done in Eretz Yisrael. That's what it sounds like in the Rambam, in the Sefer HaMitzvos, Mitzvos Esek Kuf Nun Gimel. So the Avnei Nezer refers you to the Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayos HaMechoiros on Daf Chof Tes, where the Rambam is commenting on the Mishnah. The Mishnah there talks about conferring smicha. So the Rambam fills you in on all the details of smicha. He quotes a couple of Gemaras from the first Perek in Sanhedrin. He says one of the halachas is smicha can only be conferred in Eretz Yisrael. Why only in Eretz Yisrael? What, it's from the agricultural mitzvahs? It's from the mitzvah tliyas ba'aretz. It has nothing to do with farming, nothing to do with agriculture. So why should smicha only be limited to Eretz Yisrael? But the Rambam says, no, smicha is supposed to be conferred by a rabbi who himself has smicha as representing Klal Yisrael. So Klal Yisrael only applies to those Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael. So that's why smicha has to be dafke, conferred in Eretz Yisrael. It's an inyan that Klal Yisrael gives the smicha. It's based on the pasuk in Parshas Pinchas, when Moshe Rabbeinu was commanded by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to confer the smicha to Yoshua ben Nun. It says, then it says, you should confer this smicha in the presence of Klal Yisrael. Why dafke in the presence of Klal Yisrael? Because the smicha is really as representing all of Klal Yisrael. In the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, they didn't yet enter Eretz Yisrael, so Moshe Rabbeinu could represent Klal Yisrael l'chutz laretz. Moshe Rabbeinu Yisrael l'sayar, then after they crawl into Eretz Yisrael, then you can no longer confer smicha in chutz laretz. So the Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayos there in Bechoris Daf Chof Tes quotes a source to demonstrate that only the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael constitute Klal Yisrael. He quotes the Gemara in the beginning of Maseches Horeis, that there is an institution of Par Helam Dovah Shel Tzibur. If an individual person is Mechal Shabbos, or eats Chometz B'Shegeg, or eats Chelev Adam B'Shegeg, has to be a Korban Chatos. If the Bez Nagodol made a mistake in Psak, and they allowed a certain kind of Chelev Adam, or a certain kind of Chometz, and then Rav HaTzibur violates the Saveira, then the Bez Nagodol announces we made a mistake, and everyone should stop using this cooler, relying on the cooler. So the halacha says the Bez Nagodol brings the parhalam davishal tzibur, a chatos, and all of the yechidim don't have to bring their own chatos. Everybody's covered with this parhalam davishal tzibur. So the Gemara says there in Horeis in the beginning, around Dav Gimel, Dav Dalet, when you calculate whether 51% of the tzibur violated the avera or not, you have to have roiv hatzibur violated the avera. So when you calculate 51%, you only count those Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael. The Jews who live in Chutz Lortz have a Kedushas Yisrael, but they're not called Klal Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is the national homeland of the Jewish people. It's a very secular way of saying it. The national homeland of the Jewish people, and only those who live in Eretz Yisrael constitute the nation. Those who live in Chutz Lortz have Kedushas Yisrael, but not really part of Klal Yisrael. So the Gemara quotes a Pasuk to demonstrate that this is the Pasuk in Sefer Melachim, that when Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdash, everybody came, everybody showed up, Kohol Gadol, Melevach HaMos, and Nachal Mitzrayim. From northernmost point in Eretz Yisrael to the southernmost point in Eretz Yisrael, everybody showed up. So the Gemara says, you see that that's the definition of Kohol. Kohol means Klal Yisrael, the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael. Last week I was fortunate, I was in Eretz Yisrael on Shabbos Mevorchim. Shabbos Mevorchim is when we make the announcement that Rosh Chodesh is going to be on Wednesday. So if you're in Eretz Yisrael on Rosh Chodesh, Eretz Yisrael on Shabbos Mevorchim, so you're participating in the Kviyas Haluach. If we're Chutz Lars the whole time, so the Rambam says, we're not making Rosh Chodesh. The Jews in Eretz Yisrael are the ones who make it into Rosh Chodesh by their observance, by their benching Rosh Chodesh, by their davening Musaf on Rosh Chodesh and saying hello, having Sudas for Rosh Chodesh, whatever they do to demonstrate that they make it into Rosh Chodesh. So the Jews in Eretz Yisrael are the ones who are making it into Rosh Chodesh. And we sit by as spectators. And those Jews who are in Eretz Yisrael on Shabbos Baruch and Rosh Chodesh, they're the ones who are making it into Rosh Chodesh. So this is all in Mitzvah Seser Kuf Nun Gimel. The Rambam holds that this Mitzvah, Chodesh HaSalachem, is the Mitzvah Kviyas HaLuach, and it includes both parts, Kiddush HaChodesh and Nibur HaShonah. And it's up to the Bez Nagodol, Moshe Rabbeinu, who had the status of Bez Nagodol, Moshe Rabbeinu and Aharon, and it's self-understood, you have to have a third person, because Ein Bez Meshokol, that's how the Gemara says. And Bizman HaZeh, the Rambam says, both in the Mishnah Torah as well as in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, we today, the Jews in Eretz Yisrael, by their observance of Ben Shem Rosh Chodesh, observance of Rosh Chodesh, so they make it into Rosh Chodesh. And the Ramban disagrees on a few points. So the Ramban says, Bez Nagodol does not leikuva. Any Bez Nagodol, three people can do the Kiddush HaChodesh Nibur HaShonah. Bezman Sheyesh Bez Nagodol is not Derech Eretz, and any Tom, Dick, and Harry should decide whether it should be Shonim or Beres. So you have to give cover to the Bez Nagodol, they should make the decision. But if someone else, Kol HaKadim Zoch, if someone else constituted the Bezin, they declared Rosh Chodesh, so be it. It'll be Rosh Chodesh the way they said. Then he says, number two, the Rambam attacks the halachas gedolos that he counted a mitzvah. The Rambam says, that's ridiculous. The Gemara says that it's a mitzvah l'chashev, astronomical calculations. It's a mitzvah on every Jew. Sounds like one of the 613 mitzvahs. So the halachas gedolos counts it as one of the tariq mitzvahs. The pasuk says, that the Jewish people have a chokhmah that all the nations of the world respect. We gain their respect. What is that referring to? What, they have such darcheres because we sit and learn over here in the yeshiva? Because we're saying such gevaldig yeshurim when we learn in the kailo? We have a kailo leliyon. Why is that chokhmaschem evinaschem le'enei ha'amim? Gemara says, no, that's referring to chishuv tkufas umazolas, that the Jewish people know astronomy well. We know how to calculate when the moilid is and when the tkufas are and so on. So what does that mean? It's a mitzvah l'chashev. The tkufas, because he yichach maschum emirasum le'niham. So the Rambam said, that's ridiculous that the Baha counted that. And I got it to it. That's not the mitzvah. You shouldn't have counted that as a mitzvah. So the Ramban comes to the Ramban there. Mitzvah says the kuf and gimel. Very long Rambam and a very long Ramban. Ramban is in tiny letters in Rashi scripts. So he has more. The Rambam is at least in big letters. Ramban has much more to say than the Rambam there. So the Ramban says, I'll tell you what the Bahag meant. Bahag holds that these are two separate mitzvahs. One mitzvah is Kiddush HaChodesh, is HaChodesh HaSalachem. And Ibra Shana is Kichach Maschem Avinaschem. The Rambam counts it as one mitzvah, and the Bahag thought that they're two distinct mitzvahs. But basically, it's the same as the Rambam. Either two parts of one mitzvah or two distinct mitzvahs. And the Ramban disagrees with the Rambam. How do we have Yomim Tov and Mizman Hazeh? The Ramban thinks that Hil HaSheni was Mekadosh Olach HaDoshim Lossi Lovoi and Ma'abar Ol HaShonim Ad B'yes HaGoyl, because he knew that the Smicha would be Nipsak, the Shal Shalach Smicha would be Nipsak, so he was Mekadosh and Ma'abar Ol HaShonim Ad B'yes HaGoyl. The Rambam says no, that it's Alach HaLamoshe Misina, that Bizman Shein Sanhedrin, we do the Kiddush HaChodesh and the Klal Yisrael does these mitzvahs. Ramban says, Ramban writes a funny lashon there. He says, I think I'm a little knowledgeable in Talmud. I know a little bit about Gemara. He says, I never heard of this halacha Moshe Messina. What did this man invent the halacha Moshe Messina? What, they keep it a secret from me? I learned so much Gemara. I never heard about the secret that there's halacha Moshe Messina. That's what he writes jokingly. So the Biskurov writes, yes, the Gemara talks about the Sod Ho'ibur, the secret. And he quotes the Rabbeinu Hananel on the side of the Gemara, says the Sod Ho'ibur means that Bizman that there's no Bez Nagodol, Klal Yisrael has the ability to do it on their own. This is what the Rambam didn't invent, this idea. The Rambam is quoting it from the Gaonim. Rabbeinu Hananel is quoting it from the Gaonim who preceded him. So that's in today's Sedrim. Achodesh Hazalachem Resh Chodashim is the mitzvah of, according to the Rambam, mitzvah Kviyas Haluach. According to the Halachas Gedolus, it's the mitzvah of Kiddush Achodesh. And there's another separate mitzvah, the mitzvah of Ibra Hashanah. Chodesh Hazalachem Rosh Chodesh means another thing, that the Mechilta says we shouldn't give names to the months. We should have the months should be numbered. Chodesh HaRishon, Chodesh HaSheni, we don't give any names. But we have names, Nisanir, Sivan, etc. So the Ramban HaChumash quotes that, Shmos Chodeshim Helu Imohim Ibovel. When the Jews came back from Bovel, so then they introduced the names for the months. Isn't that a violation of this mitzvah? We're not supposed to have names for the months. We're supposed to have numbers for the months. The Ramban thinks no. So the Maskilim in Europe took this Yerushalmi that the Ramban quotes, Shmos Chodoshim Helu Imohim Ibovel, is a passage in the Talmud Yerushalmi. So the Maskilim took it as a sign of assimilation. You see that the Jews were always picking up things from the Goyim. So there's nothing wrong if we'll pick up all the silly things from the Goyim. We'll play football and basketball and go to the movies and everything. And tennis, we can pick up. In the days of the Baisheni, they picked up from the Goyim Shmos Chodoshim, we can pick up also. So the Ramban does not understand like that. The Ramban says, Shmos Chodoshim Helo Emayim Mibavil was the kiyum of the mitzvah. Just like they had to incorporate the Gulas Mitzrayim into the Luach the first time around. So the Chachamim understood that there's a mitzvah to incorporate the Gula from Golas Bavel into the Luach. So that's why Shmos Chodoshim Helo Emayim Mibavil, as the kiyum mitzvah of Achodesh Zalachem, to incorporate the Geula into the Luach. That's a question today. We still have the old system, Achodesh HaRishon, Achodesh HaSheni. That's on the level of the Reis, and this is in addition to that, you have Shmos Chodoshim. Or the Chachamim understood that this substitutes. There's no more Achodesh HaRishon, Achodesh HaSheni. Rosh Hashanah is not Echad L'Chodesh HaShvi, and Sukkot is not the 15th day of the Chodesh HaShvi anymore. Now it's the 15th day of Tishrei. What do you say? No, for all dinim deraisa, we still rely on the old system. And this is an additional two concurrent systems running at the same time. You have numbers for the months, and you have names for the months. So this is a shaila in din. This is a shaila in halacha. The Rambam postulates one of the Yud Gimel Ikori Hamuna. The Rambam thinks that Zos HaTorah Lo Osei Himuchlefes. The laws of the Torah never change. The Gemara says in everything, whatever it says, Netzach, Selah, Bo'ed, any one of these three expressions, so Ein Lehefzek Kailomis. So it says many times in the Chumash that the laws of the Torah last forever. So the Rama holds that that's one of the Ikori Hamunah. The laws of the Torah never change. So Rabbi Yosef Albo in the Sefer Ho'ikarim disagrees with that Rama. He says, what do you mean? He says, Shmos Chodosh Mehelam Moim Mibovel. They changed it. It used to be numbers for the months, and they changed it. They gave names instead. So that's a question. What's the answer to the Taina? Is his Taina correct? That the Chachamim felt, like the Ramban says, That's the way to fulfill the mitzvah, by incorporating the gula from Golda's Bovel into the Luach. So now we no longer go with the old system of numbers for the months, we only go with the new system of names for the months. So they say, no, we have both systems running concurrently. You have names for the, you have numbers for the months, and all the dinim deraisa depend on the numbers for the months. Then you have names for the months, so wherever takonas the rabbanon, like Purim was instituted on Yudal and Tesvav Ador. So we have Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni, they're both Ador. So we have 4 days Purim. In Hashanah Mubaris, we have 4 days Purim. Yudal and Tezvav Adar Rishon, Yudal and Tezvav and Adar Sheni. If Purim would have been instituted in Yudal and Tezvav Adar Chodesh Hashneim Asar, so then, and there's no Adar Sheni. So Adar Sheni is Achodesh Hashlosha Asar. So how do you observing Purim on Yudal and Tezvav and Chodesh Hashlosha Asar? So the answer is, because when you get to Purim for sure, we follow the system of using the names for the months. So they instituted Purim, Yudal Tezvav Ador, and both of them are Ador. Ador Rishon is Ador, Ador Sheni is Ador. They both have the same Ador. So that's the question. Is that only for the Din of the Rabbanon that were instituted after Shmos Chadosh Mehelo Mar Mubavil? Maybe even the Din of the Raisa changed over. Maybe now we no longer count the names for the months. So that seems to be the machlokes between the Sefer HaYikarim and the Rambam. The Rambam holds the Dinam Deraisa and never changed. We still go according to the numbers of the month.
What was the kasha about?
No, the Gemara, the Rambam says that principle, Zos HaTorah Lo Osin Mechlefes, the laws of the Torah never change. It's based on a Gemara in Erevin, where the Gemara says, whenever it says Netzach, Sela, Vaed, any one of these three expressions, it means the Dinam apply forever.
But it doesn't say that by...
No, it says by the mitzvahs.
Oh.
Mashma, the mitzvahs are binding forever.
The way, so, and the surah, the assumption is that it's surah that they have, meaning the mitzvah of having a chadashim as numbers.
This is one of the mitzvahs, yeah,
and
so it should last forever.
Having names.
Yeah. So we assume that the old system is still in place, and the new system is in addition to the old system. But again, the takon is the rabbanon that they instituted after they added on the names for the months. The bulk of the halacha is spoken of in the parasha. I roll about Korban Pesach, Matzah, Morer, and Tfilin. Kaddish Vayakiviyacha, both over here. The Mishnah in Psochem and Daf Tzadik Vav and Aleph lists off Mabem Pesach Mitzrayim le Pesach Doira. So you have two psukim here. You have the last pasuk in Chamishi, reads like this. It happens to be chapter Yud Beis, pasuk Chof Ches. Vayechol v'yasem in Yisrael, kashativ Hashem es Moshe v'yaharon kein osu. It says that they listened to the instructions and they brought the Korban Pesach as they were instructed. Then you have a few psukim later, in Pasuk Lamed Hei in chapter Yud Beis, they were commanded to knock on the next door neighbor's doors and to ask for gifts. So it says, B'nei Yisrael Osu Kidvar Moshe, Vayishulu Mimitzrayim Kolechesu V'lchayzo V'smodas, V'Hashem Nosan Eschein Hom Yeni Mitzrayim, Vayashilam Vayinatzla Es Mitzrayim. So the Kedusha Slevi points out, why is there a discrepancy here? With respect to HaKrabas Korban Pesach, it says, V'yazim in Yisrael kasha tziva Hashem es Moshe, loshen tziva. Here, b'nei get to Bizas Mitzrayim to ask for the gifts, it says, b'nei Yisrael also kidvar Moshe. Why doesn't it say kasha tziva Hashem es Moshe? So he says there's a major difference. The word tziva is a technical term. You look in the Rashi at the beginning of Parshas Tzav. The Rashi quotes from the Sifro, from the Torah's Kohanim, Ein loshen tzava, loshen ziriz miyadu l'daris. Something is only counted as a mitzvah if it's binding l'doros. If something is only harashoa, you can't refer to it as a mitzvah. That's what in the Rambam has 14 shirashim, 14 klolim, and the Sefer HaMitzvahs. The first day for the Sefer HaMitzvahs, the Rambam gives you the guiding principles to determine what belongs in the Sefer HaMitzvahs and what not. So the Rambam has the first klal is you only include mitzvahs deraisa. You don't include mitzvahs rabbanon. Then he has the second klal. You only include mitzvahs that are binding l'dor. Something is only harashah. By definition, it's not called a mitzvah. So here, there's a major difference here. Korban Pesach is a din l'dor. So that's why I can say, v'yochav v'nasam in Yisrael, kasha tziva Hashem es Moshe v'yaron kenos. You can use the expression kasha tziva because it is a mitzvah nahegas l'dor. But the next parasha, to knock on the next door neighbor's door to ask for matonis, that was only once in the history of the world. So that's not called a mitzvah. That's a harashah. So that's what the Kedusha Slevi writes. That's why he writes that the Pasuk is careful not to say Kasha Tziva. It was a Dvar Navua, it was a Heru Ashur. So the Mishnah Psachim Tzadik Vav and Allah points out, yes, there are certain aspects of Korban Pesach Mitzrayim that it shared in common with Pesach Doiris, but there are other aspects that were only Hoy Rosho within Korban Pesach. Not everything in Pesach Mitzrayim is a Din L'Doiris. So the Mishnah Tzadik Vav and Allah list off, not all, list off some of the differences. You look in the Tosefta, Tosefta points out, you look in the Tosefta, and that Mishnah adds on more differences between Pesach Mitzrayim and Pesach Doiris. Then the Mishnah points out several differences between Pesach Mitzrayim and Pesach Doiris. One is that it was Mikra Mibe Osar. They had to buy it. Mishcho Kulahem, they had to set aside the Korban Pesach on the 10th day of Nisan, and only Shechted on the 14th day. But Doiris, there is no such halacha. You can buy a Korban Pesach on Erev Pesach in the afternoon and be makvid. There is no halacha mikcha mi be'osel l'doris. That's only harashah. Then number two, they had to do the zrikas hadam with aguda seizav. And the Beis HaMikdash l'doris, you don't need an aguda seizav to do the hazos hadam. Number three, in the Beis HaMikdash, the zrikas hadam is done on the Mizbeach. And over here was done, ashtem zuzos ve'al ha-mashkof. Number four, it says, v'achaltam osa b'chipazon. This was a hirasha only for Pesach Mitzrayim. Pesach Doiris, there is no such halacha. Here they had to demonstrate that they believe that the gula is imminent and that they're going to have their marching shoes on. They have to have the marching shoes on ready to leave Mitzrayim as they're eating the Korban Pesach. Then the Tosefta adds on that there were more differences. The other difference is that one who doesn't participate in Korban Pesach L'Doiris is Onush Kores. One who would not observe Korban Pesach Mitzrayim would not be Onush Kores. That's what it says in Tosefta, because this was basically a Hayro Ashur form of the Korban Pesach. So a Hayro Ashur is Oibad Divinov, is Chai Misa V'Dei Shamayim. You're not Chayv Kores. But Pesach L'Doiris is not called Oibad Divinov. Pesach L'Doiris is one of the Dinim in the Torah. So the Torah says that the punishment is Koris, not Misa V'Dei Shamayim. Then another major difference that the Sefta mentions a few more, another major difference is that Al Yetzish Min Pesach Beso Ad Boike, that didn't only apply to Pesach Mitzrayim, did not apply to Pesach Doiris. I remember when I was a little boy, my father used to get in the mail the JWB circle, Jewish Welfare Board newspaper. So they used to write about the news all over the world, and then the middle sheet, a big newspaper, middle sheet used to be, you could take it out and read it, it was all book reviews. So I used to read it as a little boy in Philadelphia. I used to read the book reviews. I remember a book came out 60 years ago, called the Bria Salem, as far as you're concerned. The book came out, The Last of the Just. So I think it was about Shimon HaTzadik, Mishori Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. He was left over from Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. So it's a historical novel about the way things happened in the days of the Beis HaMikdash. It's supposed to be accurate based on Josephus. Everything is supposed to be checked out based on Josephus. And the book, he writes the way the Jews would come from all over Eretz Israel, from all over the world, to participate in Korban Pesach, and then after they would eat Korban Pesach, they would go and visit other Jews in their homes to celebrate after the Arba Kodesh, after the whole Haggadah was over, they would go visit other people and to be friendly. So the one who made the book, the one who wrote the book review, attacks the book. He says, this is obviously a mistake. It can't be based on Josephus. It's a pasuk in the Chumash. It's Al Yetzish Min Pesach Pesad Boiker. How can they go visit other people? It's against the Torah. The Jews are not going to violate what it says in the Torah. So I remember as a little boy, before my bar mitzvah, I knew that that was wrong. Al Yetzish Min Pesach Boiker is a Hayro Ashur. I didn't know about all the other differences, but that I knew for sure. That's a Hayro Ashur. That's not a Din L'Doiris. So that was ridiculous. So the Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Ben Ditchaba pointed out is interesting that with respect to Korban Pesach, it says, because Korban Pesach is a din l'dairus, and the Bizas Mitzrayim to knock on the next door neighbor's doors, it says, Ben Yisrael also Kidvar Moshe, that's purely Hayro Ashur. But we have to keep in mind what the Mishnah says and the Tosefta, that Pesach Mitzrayim had a lot of Hayro Ashur blended in. It wasn't all din l'dairus. Some of the dinim of the Korban Pesach Mitzrayim were the same as Pesach Doiris, and other dinim were not the same. The Gemara, the Mishnah comments on the pasuk v'shochto also kol kahal adas Yisrael ben ho arboyim. So the Gemara says in the beginning of the second parak in Kedushim, everybody shechts the Korban Pesach. The Gemara says 1 year, the king wanted to take a census to see how many Jews there were. So the Jews lived all over. How was he going to take a census? It cost him a fortune to have a census bureau to go interview everybody, how many children. So he waited till everybody came for Korban Pesach. Not everybody showed up. I'm sure a lot of people didn't show up. He came, everybody came. So the Gemara says they counted how many Korbanos Pesach there were, and they assumed that Ein Lecha Korban Pesach, every Korban Pesach had at least 10 people, Mamuna on a Korban Pesach. So they multiplied by 10, and there were a few million Jews. That's how they figured out what the approximate population was. A couple of million Jews, this man by Sheni. So the Gemara says if every Korban Pesach has at least 10 shutf a minute, how do you say Vishochta also kok? That's all Ben Abon. Everybody shechts. You can't have two people shecht. If you have two people shecht the carbon, it's puzzle. You have to have only one shechet. Chulin, you can have two people saw back and forth, cut the neck of the animal, and it's kosher. And shechitas kachim is a din. The Gemara learns that from pasuk. Shnaim sheshochtim is a psul, and the shechitas carbonus. So the Gemara says, from this pasuk, we derive shechta also kachala, that's all ben abayim. We derive the principle of shlucho shaladim kemoisai. All of the 10 people appoint one person, either one of the 10 or someone else. A stranger who should function as the, who should serve as the shechet for the Korban Pesach. That's the Gemara at the beginning of the second parak in Kedushim, when the Gemara establishes the principle of shlucho shel adam kemoisai. Then the Gemara has the Mishnayos and Sochem have a comment. The term appears three times. Shoch also called kahal, adas, Yisrael. So the word kohol usually has a connotation of a minion of 10. And eidah, amosel eidah haruazos, the Rabban Shalom said about the 10 miraglim, there were 12 miraglim, Yeshua B'Kalev gave a good report, and the other 10 gave a negative report, so the Rabban Shalom was upset, so he refers to the 10 evil miraglim, as Admas Eleida Harua Hazos. So Eida has the connotation of 10. Eida has the connotation of 10. And Yisrael also has the connotation of 10. So you have three expressions, Kahal, Adas, Yisrael. So the Gemara says it sounds like 10, 10, and 10 is 30. The Gemara says you have to have a minimum of 30 people when you shech the Korban Pesach. You have to make sure you have 30 people. But the Gemara says, but maybe that's not what it means. Maybe what it means is you should shech the Korban Pesach in three different groups. You should have three different sessions of Shechitas Korban Pesach. So the Gemara says they would fill up the Azara with 30 people, minimum of 30 people. They had probably hundreds. At a minimum of 30 people, they would either lock the gates or the gates would lock on their own. The Gemara says either a miracle occurred, either they would rely on a miracle, ninolu dalsas azara, or we don't rely, ain samach malanes, and they would lock the gates to make sure that 2/3 of the people would bring the Korban Pesach in a later session. And then after the first group brought the Korban Pesach, then they would let in a minimum of another 30 people, and then have them shech the Korban Pesach. Then the third group, the Gemara said, the third group was hardly anybody there. Everybody wanted to do zriz magdim in the mitzvah, everybody wanted to participate in either the first group or the second group. So the Gemara says this is based, this practice they had in the days of the Bayis Sheni that used to shech the Korban Pesach when three units is based on a suffix that the Tanoim have, this man Bayis Sheni, how do you read the pasuk? Shech also called Kahal Adas Yisrael means you should have three groups shech in Korban Pesach. Each group should have a minimum of 10. Or no, you have to have a minimum of 30 people in the Azara when you shech the Korban Pesach. So because of this suffix, so they did both. So they had three groups, and each group had a minimum of 30 people. They had a suffix bisman Bayis Sheni. They instituted a whole system of having 30, 30, 30, because the Tanoim bisman Bayis Sheni had a suffix, had to read the book. Why weren't they machriya the suffix? I don't know. That's what it says in the Mishnah. They had 30, 30, 30, because they were not sure how to read the pasuk. Kahal Adas Yisrael. One of the special dinim of Korban Pesach, that it's unlike any other korban, is Eina Nechel Ela Leminuyev. You're not allowed to eat Korban Pesach unless you were memuna on the Korban Pesach before they did the shechita. How do you become a memuna on the Korban Pesach? What does it mean, Leminuyev? So the Minchas Chinuch quotes that one of his talmidim, that they pointed out that in Maseches Pesachim, there seems to be a contradiction between one passage in the Gemara and the other. In Perek Isha, the later Prokem and Masechet Pesachim, where they talk about the Korban Pesach, can you only become a mamun on the Korban Pesach if you have a shutfis in the Korban? Mamunah means that you own a share. You are a shutif in Dini Mamun. It's based on Choshen Mishpat. Oh no, they have a list of people who plan to eat from the Korban Pesach. When you shech the Korban Pesach, you have in mind that list. You have to have in mind all the people. We decided in advance who's going to be eating from this Korban Pesach. If you are not on the list, you are not included at the time of the Shechita, so that's Shalom Lemnoi. But if you are included, you don't have to have any Kinyonim in Dini Mamunis. So the Minhas Chinuch points out, I think in the name of one of his Talmidim, every so often he quotes one of the Talmidim. So he says that this is a contradiction between two passages in the Gemara in the same period. Now, Dabba Vasolavetchik has a Sefer HaChumish, the Chidush HaGriz, so he quotes a Mechilta, and the Pasuk Mishchu Ukhulachem, that's the first Pasuk in Chamishi, Mishchu Ukhulachem Tzon Lemishpachasechem, V'shachatu HaPasach. So the Mechilta says, Mikan, from this Pasuk we derive that the Behema Daka is nicknames by Meshicha. They're Behema Daka and Behema Gasa. So the Tzon, there's Tzon of Bokar. So the Korban Pesach is Tzon. It's either Se Kvasim or Se Izim. Menakvasim Izim Tikochu. So that's Behema Daka. So the Mechilta says, from the fact that it says Mishchu implies a Kinyan Meshicha, so we can establish, we can learn out from this Pasuk that a Behema Daka is nicknames by Meshicha. Why do you have to be kind of shutfis in the Korban Pesach? So Rav Dovala says, obviously the Mechilta is assuming that in order that it should be considered Lemenuyev, you have to be a shutif. In order to be a shutif, you have to make a kinyan based on Choshe Mishpat. So you see that Meshicha is kaina, that's the comment on the Mechilta. Mikan, the Meshicha is kaina on a Behema Daka. So he thinks based on, he doesn't go into the fact that the Minchas Chinuch has a steer between two Gemaras. He just says, you see from the Mechilta, that the Menuyev means that you become a shutif in the Korban Pesach. Behema Gasa is a whole discussion in the Mishnayos. Can you be kind of Behema Gasa with the Kinyan easier than Meshicha? Do you insist on Meshicha and Hagbah? That's what the Gemara talks about. One Tana says to be kind of Behema Gasa, you have to have Hagbah. So the Gemara says, how are you kind of an elephant? You're going to pick up the elephant. So the Gemara says, B'chavila is Meiras. What do you mean, Chavila is Meiras? So Rashi says, you put a bundle of twigs on the ground and you get the elephant to climb up on top of the bundle of twigs. And that's considered my hagboah. And how high do you have to pick up hagboah? So that's machlekes Rashi and Tosfos. One tefach hatvi tefachim. You got to get the elephant to climb up. Either one tefach hatvi tefachim on top of the chavila is Meiras. And Tosfos has a different interpretation. Tosfos says you wave the bundle of cherries on top of the elephant's head and he's going to jump up. You have the din in the Chumash. Whoever doesn't have a bris milah is not permitted to eat Korban Pesach. So here there's a major machlokes Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. It's in Yevamos and Daf Ayin Amud Aleph. It's in Chagiga, in the beginning of Chagiga. It's in Psochim. It's in a few Masechtos. Rashi writes, even Meso Echo of Machmas Milah, even if a person is prohibited to perform a bris milah because of medical concern, he has a medical condition that he's not allowed it. It's a sakonas nefashis for him. And it's not his fault. Rashi says it doesn't make a difference, but it's your fault, not your fault. An oral is not permitted to eat Korban Pesach. And the Rabbeinu Tam disagrees. He says, no, only a mumar la'arelis is not allowed to eat Korban Pesach. But if it's meso echo machmas mila, if he has a heart condition, or he has some kind of condition because of which hemophilia, and you're not allowed to perform bris mila, so then the Rabbeinu Tam disagrees with Rashi, holds that you can eat the Korban Pesach. So that's a big discussion in the later Achronim. What exactly is the Nekudas HaMachlokes here between Rashi and the Rabbeinu Tam? Then you have the pasuk called Benecha Lo Yachol Bo. You're not allowed to give to a non-Jew. Called Benecha means a non-Jew, or a Jew who worships Avodah Zarah. Mishin Esnakar Maisav La'aviv Shabashamayim. A Jew who worships Avodah Zarah is not allowed to eat Korban Pesach. That's the Shaila. What if he did Tshuva? He used to worship Avodah Zarah. And now he did tshuva. He still says he's not allowed to eat Korban Pesach. They say no, once he did tshuva, so the tshuva wipes off the past. So the Meiri quotes such an odd opinion that even if he did tshuva, it doesn't help. He's most lagavoyim. And Tosfos assumes not so. Tosfos assumes on Daf Chof Chesum Sochem, the other pashut that if he does tshuva, is now no longer called Misnakar Maisav Lovim Shabashamayim.
Could you ask the same question about the one who's Mumar for the Korban Pesach?
One who is Mumar?
If he's Mumar against the Korban Pesach and he says he doesn't want to do it, and then we said that So Tosfos would say only Rabbi Natan would say that he wouldn't be able to do it. But if he did, he wouldn't be able to eat the Korban Pesach if he's mumar. If he purposefully doesn't want to have a bris milah, so maybe it could be the same thing that if he has a bris milah afterwards, it's like doing tshuva.
If he does the bris milah, then he can eat Korban Pesach.
Okay. No, we're saying that cause Rashi said that if you want that if a per, even if
even it's not his fault,
then it's not
yeah,
his fault.
Still
and
can't eat Korban
Pesach. It's only if it's his fault.
Right.
So theoretically, he's being mumar against the mitzvah. So like, what's
going to Rabbeinu Tam is a mumer to the mitzvah bris milah. He doesn't. So then a mumer to the mitzvah bris milah is not allowed to eat Korban Pesach.
And if he does tshuva and has a bris milah,
no shaila.
So it's not the same thing.
Yeah, that for sure is good. Yeah, once he does the bris milah, he did, I think so. I don't think that's a shaila. But if he worshipped Avodah Zarah, so then there is an opinion in Tosfos in the end of Zvachim that the Kohanim who worshipped Avodah Zarah, even if they do tshuva, are not allowed to be makor karbonos in the Beis Hamikdash. Kohanim Sheshim Shev Beis Chanyo, Lo Yisham Shev Hamikdash. Beis Chanyo was a Beis Hamikdash that they made in Alexandria. So the Mishnah says that the Kohanim who are makor karbonos there in Beis Chanyo are never allowed to be makor karbonos in the Beis Hamikdash. So the Gemara has a suffix. What was going on? They're not sure what was going on in Beis Chanya. Were they worshipping Avodah Zarah there? The name of the person who built that Beis Hamikdash was Chanyo. He was upset why they didn't make him Kohen Gadol in Yerushalayim, so he made his own Beis Hamikdash. That's the way to go. If you don't like the rabbi in the shul, you make a breakaway shul. Make a breakaway Beis Hamikdash. He made a breakaway Beis Hamikdash, Beis Chanyo. Mr. Chanyo made a Beis Hamikdash. So the Gemara is not sure what was going on there. Were they makriv karbonos l'Hashemayim or makriv karbonos l'Avodah Zarah? So one version has it that they were makriv karbonos l'Avodah Zarah. So based on psukim in Novi, so the Mishnah says, Kohanim Sheshim Shev Beis Chanyo lo Yisham Shev Hamikdash. Or Kohanim Sheshim Shev L'Avodah Zarah. Even if they do tshuva, we don't let them bring karbonos in the Beis Hamikdash. So that's what the Meiri quotes on Rishayim say, that a person, whoever worshipped Avodah Zarah, is never allowed to eat Korban Pesach. If he's a Gershon, is Gayer, then you say Gershon is Gayer, Kikotin Shanova Dhamma. The Ger who worshipped Avodah Zarah, Biosa Nochri, once he converts, of course he can bring Korban Pesach. That says in the Pasuk. Chayag Yutchem Ger Lederasech, Miosa Pesach Lashem. The Gershon is Gayer for sure can. But if he's not a Gershon, is Gayer, he's a Jew who used to worship Avodah Zarah, and now he does tshuva, so most of the Rishonim say, he's no longer called a Ben Echor, and the Miri quotes such an obscure opinion that he can never participate in Korban Pesach.
What about Atanish Mishpah? Who would they worship of the Zara? Didn't know he was Jewish, whatever. Is it the fact that he worshipped of the Zara, or the fact that he decided to worship of the Zara?
I think it would be the same. I don't think it makes a difference. The only kula the Miri has within this opinion is by the Ger, because Gershon has got caught in Shanoladami, so the whole past history is wiped off, which is very difficult. We discussed it a little bit. Gershon has got does not wipe off the past history. Just with respect to Krivim, Sulam La'edas, so they're kosher La'edas, the two brothers are kosher La'edas, with respect to Krivim, marrying Krivim. Even with respect to Krivim, Piri Verivya, we pass like Rabbi Yechanan, that you don't say Gershon has got kosher. We don't pass like Rabbi Shlokish. Certainly more so, you don't say Benigeh to anything other than Kurva, other than relationship. So that's a strange Meiri, that he says, whoever ever worshipped Avodah Zarah, even if he does Tshuva, can never participate Korban Pesach, except for the Ger, and the reason why the Ger is an exception to the rule, is Kotn Shana L'Adam. What I mean, Ger Shana is got Kotn Shana, wipes off the whole past history. A Shver Rishit. To be called Memunah. Yeah. You have to have Das Acheres Makna, right? You have to have someone, we pass in the Shulchan Aruch, when someone is Makna to the Kotten, Das Acheres Makna, so then the Kotten is Kainim in HaTorah. Kotten who picks up in a Hefker is not Zechem in HaTorah. It's his Kotten's only Midi Rabbanon. But whenever you give him Matana to the Kotten, then it's Kainim in HaTorah. Yeah.
So those two shitos are totally, in other words, one can only hold that you have to have a kinin if you hold that when you're machin into a katan, he's konim in the Torah.
That's a wee paskin. Tosis has two opinions about it. According to the other opinion, that a katan cannot even be koinah with das acheres makna, so they develop a sheet. I think the Ran and the Dorm has like that, that you're only, there's a din of shalol menuyav, you're not allowed to eat shalol menuyav, that's only a person who has the ability to become a mamunah. So then, and he didn't become a mumar on this Korban Pesach, so then he's not allowed to eat shalot amnuyah. But if you say a cotton can never become a munah because he can never be koina, even with das acheres makna, so then the Ran in the Dorm says there's no prohibition of shalot amnuyah. Yeah. So you have this pasuk in the Chumash called Benechal Yechal. A simple translation is a non-Jew is not allowed to eat Korban Pesach. So if a non-Jew eats Korban Pesach, that's one of the Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach. So the Rambam says, no, we're not allowed to give it to the non-Jew. He only has Sheva Mitzvahs. He's not in violation of anything if he eats Korban Pesach. If the non-Jew marries a nice Jewish girl, he didn't do an Avera. She did an Avera. If a non-Jewish woman marries a Jewish man, they know that Jewish men make better husbands. So the non-Jew who marries a Jewish man is not doing an Avera. It's not from the Sheva Mitzvah. The Jewish spouse is violating the Avera. So the Pashas over here is called Benecha Le'yachal Bo. The Jewish shutfim in the Korban Pesach are not allowed to give any of the Korban Pesach to the non-Jew. The non-Jew doesn't violate any Avera. That's why there's a Peladiki Gemara, the Menchas Chinuch asks. The Gemara in the beginning of Pesachim tells the story there was Hahu HaRamo. There was a non-Jew who used to fool the rabbis every year. Year after year he would come to Yerushalayim. He would make believe that he's Jewish and he would participate in Korban Pesach. And he did it lahaches. He knew that it says in the Bible, Kol Benecha Le'yochot Bo, and he showed them that he fooled them all. He said he was Jewish. Tosfos says, you see from the Gemara, that if a guy comes and says he's Jewish, he doesn't have to produce any ID card or anything. He says he's Jewish. Are you allowed to meet the Korban Pesach? So then the Gemara says, when they finally caught on, that he was bragging to Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira, that he fooled all the rabbis in Yerushalayim. So then when they finally caught on later on, so they put him to death. So the Menchas Chinuch says, Anochri is Chayav Misa if he violates one of the Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Azarasam Zuhi Misosam. When the Nochri violates any one of the Sheva Mitzvahs, Azara means Aloisesi. Ein Oinshman L'kein Masirin. You don't give an Oinish Aguf of Malkus or Misa unless the person violated Aloisesi and L'kein Masirin. So, Azarasam Zoy Misasam, if the Nochri violates one of his Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach, this is not from the Sheva Mitzvah Bnei Noach. This is an Iser on the Jews. We're not allowed to feed him Korban Pesach. So, we didn't know that he was a goy, so we didn't violate anything. He didn't violate anything. So, why did they put him to death? So, the Menchas Chinuch suggests maybe he was Chayv Misa Mitam Gezel. He bought the share in the Korban Pesach on the false pretenses. He told them that he's Jewish. If they would have realized that he's not Jewish, they would never have given him a share in the Korban Pesach. They probably paid him $10 to become a shutif in the Korban Pesach, to eat a lamb chop there, to eat the Korban Pesach. They sold it to him on the false pretenses. They would have realized he's a non-Jew, they would never have sold it to him. So Menchas Chinuch suggests, maybe he's Chayav Misa Mitam Gezel. If you buy something on the false pretenses, and they wouldn't have sold it to you if they would have known the correct information, that's Gezel. That's a suggestion that he has. Maritz Chayes has a whole fantastic suggestion because there are a lot of kashas there on that Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira was the Tana who was involved. This non-Jew was bragging to Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira, I think it was Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira, that he fooled the rabbis in Yerushalayim. So Tosfos says, Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira lived after the Churban Abayis, so how can there be any Korban Pesach? Tosfos says there were two Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseiras, one lived as Ban Abayis, one lived after the Churban Abayis. And then Tosfos is bothered, so why didn't Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira? Why didn't he come to Yerushalayim to eat Korban Pesach? Why did he live in the Tzivin? He lived in the Tzivin and he tripped up the guy. He told the guy to ask something stupid, and that's how they caught on that the guy wasn't even Jewish. Why didn't he come to participate in Korban Pesach if he lived as Ban Abayis? So there are a lot of kashas on the Gemara, historical kashas. So Tosfos gives answers to all the kashas. So the Maritz Chayes has a whole fantastic explanation. He has a whole essay. He thinks that it was after the Churban Abayis, and the practice was, as it says in various midrashim, that Makriv and Afpi Shem Bayis, they still continued to bring the Korban Pesach years after the destruction of the Second Beis Hamikdash. But the Romans were opposed to this. So the Romans had policemen stationed on the Har Abayis. No one should bring Korban Pesach. So they would make a makeshift mizbech, they would shech the Korban Pesach, then they would run for their lives. Then they would run away. That the Romans shouldn't catch them. So it was a sakonis nefoshes. So the people from the Machteret in Eretz Yisrael, they have a Machteret. So that whole Machteret that they want to bring Karbonis bizman is it. So the people in the days of the after the Churban Bayis Sheni, So a couple of people, a couple of young people who could protect themselves, who could run quickly, the older people wouldn't come. Rabbi Yehuda Ben Zeva is an old man. So he can't, it's a sakanas nefashis for him. So he didn't want to come and put his life in danger. And the younger people did this act. So when they found out that he was a Nochri, they were afraid he would master to the Roman government. He would identify who all the other Jews were who did participate in Korban Pesach, and they put them all prison, they put them all to death. So that's why they had to kill him, because they were afraid he was going to master on them. A master is a roidev, so they had no choice. So that's the discussion why Kol Benechel Ayachal Boy applies to a Jew who's Nisnaka Maisav Lavi V'Shabashman. Can you say the Goy is in violation of the Din? The non-Jew is not in violation of Kol Benech, it's not from the Sheva Mitzvahs Benenech. If a Jew gives a lamb chop from the Korban Pesach to the Goy, that's an Aver on the part of the Jew. But why they put the non-Jew to death? So that's the issue that the Minchas Chinuch raised. Chavetz Chaim has a Chiddush in his Oris. The Chavetz Chaim wrote an imitation riff on the Mesichtas of Kochim. That's called Likuti Halochas. The riff is called Hilchas Rav Alphas. Hilchas Rav Alphas, and the Chavetz Chaim wrote like a riff. The riff only has on Psochem and Arvid Psochem on the beginning of Psochem, the sections that are Halacha Lemaisa. And middle of Psochem, that's all Karbanis. It doesn't have any riff. So the Chavetz Chaim wrote a riff, and he called it Likuti Halochas. No one should think that it's really the riff, Likuti Halochas, and he has his comments on the bottom of the page, the Zevach Toido. So he raises the Sofek regarding Kol Benecha Lo Yechol Bo, a Jew who's Oyber Abed Azor, is Dina Ka'akum, Kol Benecha Lo Yechol Bo, what's the din if the Jew is Mechal Shabbos Befrahesia, that we say Dina Ka'akum, we treat him like a Nochri. Would we say he's not also not allowed to participate in Korban Pesach? Or do you say no? Maybe it's only Benegea to Oyber Abed Azor Mamish. That's a Shiloh. Well, the Moshe, there's a din. A Kohen who's Oibid Abed Azar is not allowed to be Makar Kabbanis on the base HaMikdash, so we wouldn't let him Duchen. That's a discussion Taisus has. We wouldn't allow a Kohen who's Oibid Abed Azar to Duchen in Shul today. So what if there's a Kohen who's not Oibid Abed Azar, but it's Machal Shabbos Befahesya? So Dino Koibid Abed Azar. So Dino Koibid Abed Azar, but again to this also, that you don't let him Duchen, and you wouldn't let him eat Korban Pesach, or do you say no? That's only Mos Lagavaya, is only if he actually worships of a desire. Machal Shabbos Befahesi, Dina Ka'akum is a din in the Mumras HaGavra. He's a high degree of Mumar, but this is not an Inyan of Mumar. This is an Inyan of Mo'us. So the Mi'us is only if he's Oibid of a desire. So the Chofetz Chaim has this, when he gets to Duchening, then Machal Shabbos Befahesi shouldn't be permitted to Duchen. And when he gets to Korban Pesach, Machal Shabbos Befahesi shouldn't be permitted to participate in the Korban Pesach. And Rav Soloveitchik thought that his father, Rav Soloveitchik said his father didn't agree. He thought that it was not correct. And Moshe also has a tshuva where he argues the point against the Mishnah Brura about this point. Right. Isis asked that question, why didn't Rabbi Yehuda ben Misera go to bring Korban Pesach if he lived Bizman HaBayis? How come he didn't? If he lived after the Korban HaBayis, why is anybody bringing Korban Pesach? They couldn't imagine that answer. That Makriv and Ach Bishem Bayis. They were Moshe Nefesh to bring Korban Pesach after the Korban HaBayis. Taisa thought it must have been Bizman HaBayis. So Taisa says, maybe because whoever doesn't live in Eretz Yisrael is not Mechuyev in Korban Pesach. So then Tzivin, Rabbi Yehuda ben Misera lived in it, even though it was chutz la'aretz. So on the side, that's what Taisa's answers. We know a fact of history, the Jews travel from Europe, Asia, Africa, they travel from all over the world, Bizman Baisheni, to participate in Korban Pesach. But Taisa says they weren't mechuyev to. Only mechuyev if you live in Eretz Yisrael. If you don't live in Eretz Yisrael, not mechuyev. So on the side of the Gemara, they have printed sideways, look in the Mishnah Melech, he says that it absolutely doesn't make any sense whatsoever. There's no mocker for this at all. The Mishlam Melech asks that the Gemara in the first parak of Sochem later on Daf Ches says, whoever doesn't live in Eretz Yisrael is not mechuyev to be oil or regal on Pesach Shavuot Sukkos, based on a pasuk. But it never says, whoever doesn't live in Eretz Yisrael is not mechuyev in Korban Pesach. That's Mishlam Melech Steiner, Dibri HaTaisus Temuim. There is no source. So others point out, the source is in the Talmud Yerushalmi. Taisus doesn't quote it. The source is in Talmud Yerushalmi, because the Yerushalmi understands, Yerushalmi explains, that the Chiyuv Korban Pesach is a Chiyuv Korban Tzibur. Even though it's not paid for by Machtzah Shekel money, each group of 10 people or 20 people pay for their own Korban Pesach, So that means it's a korban yochid. A korban tzibur has to be funded with the machza shekel money from the Trumas Alishka. So nonetheless, the Gemara says, since korban Pesach is osi b'chinufya, everybody brings it together, has certain dinim like a korban tzibur. It's not a korban tzibur b'negeir to being purchased for machza shekel money, but it has other dinim, like a korban tzibur as opposed to a korban yochid. So that's what the Yerushalmi says. Tzibur only applies to those who live in Eretz Yisrael. The Jews who live in Chutz Lartz have a Kedushas Yisrael, but they're not called Klal Yisrael. Can't call them part of the Tzibur. Ben Gurion writes that he's an atheist. He wrote that he's an atheist. Probably a liar. Probably was not an atheist. How can be an atheist always quoting from Tanakh? Well, just a secular book. Probably not an atheist. Whatever. So he didn't believe in mitzvahs. He didn't believe in Kedushas Yisrael. If we say there are two dinim, the Jews all over the world have a Kedushas Yisrael, the Chayv and mitzvahs. But the only Jews who constitute Klal Yisrael, the nation of the Jewish people, are the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael. He didn't believe in mitzvahs. So as far as he's concerned, there's only a concept, a nationalistic concept of the Jewish people. So he said, the Jews who live in Chutz Lartz are not Jewish. He's right. The Jews who live in Chutz Lartz are not part of the nation of Klal Yisrael. But we hold from another concept. There's a concept of Kedushas Yisrael. He didn't hold for that. He didn't believe in that. So from his perspective, there's only one aspect, only the nation of the Jewish people. So he's right. L'shitasa, he's right. That only the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael belong to the nation of Klal Yisrael. So that Taisus says like that. That the Jews who live in Chutz Lartz not mechuyif to participate in Korban Pesach. There's a sefer Orach HaShulchan HaOsid. It's bigger than the regular Orach HaShulchan. He wrote a whole Orach HaShulchan, Vosvat Zainaz, Moshiach that Kumin, how are we going to keep all the korbanis and all the chumas and maizes? So he has a psak on everything. So he writes about Machtas HaShekel. So he says, he thinks that the Jews who live in Chutz Lartz not mechuyif to give Machtas HaShekel. It's not mistaber. The Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael, they're right over there. So of course they have to give Machtas HaShekel. Jews in Chutz Lartz don't have to give Machtas HaShekel. It's also based on the assumption the Machza Shekel is a Choyves HaTzibur, that the Korbanus Tzibur should be paid for by the Momen HaTzibur. So the Jews who live in Chutz Lartz are not called part of the Tzibur.
The Mishnah had three trumos of the Shekel, and most of the Shekels for the people who sent in the
Shekel
and didn't come until later?
Right. No, he says they're not Mechuyiv to. Like they're not Mechuyiv in Korban Pesach, but we know a fact that they did come. Many Jews came, it would sometimes be Ma'aber Sashana because the Jews were traveling for weeks and weeks and there was a snowstorm and it would be heartbreaking. So they would make Ibra Shana to enable them to make it for the Korban Pesach. We know that they did. So the Orach HaShulchan says he doesn't think they're Mechuyiv to participate in Matzah Shekel. It's voluntary. They want to, they may. But they're not Mechuyiv to. One of the many Dina mentioned in the Parsha of Korban Pesach is you have to broil a Korban Pesach. You cannot eat it cooked. No, can't eat it raw. How do you broil it? So you slice it into lamb chops and you broil each lamb chop individually? No, it says, Rosh al Kral Bal Kirba. You're supposed to broil it all together and then you slice it afterwards. That's what we must have spoken about. The Rambam writes, and when you broil the Korban Pesach, well, you have to take out the chalev before you broil it. You have to take the chalev to be makrav on the mizbeach. But the Rambam doesn't say you take out the gid anoshim. You broil the korban pesach with the gid anoshim, then you cut out the gid anoshim afterwards, and you throw it in the garbage. So the Ravid writes, commenting on the Rambam, Hilchos Korban Pesach, if I would be there, when this man would bring his korban pesach, I would throw hisichov to the front of the karka, I would throw it on the floor and tell him, you just made a treif. You broil the Korban Pesach with the Gid HaNoshe, so the whole thing is treif. Because the Gid HaNoshe is treif, makes everything treif. That's the right, it's Hasoga. So the Kesem Mishnah wants to defend the Rambam. So he says, well, take it easy. The Gemara has a Machlokes HaTanaim. We pass on Halacha LaMaaseh that Ein Begidin B'nai Sentam. The Gid HaNoshe does not aser. You're not allowed to eat the Gid HaNoshe, but because we broiled the Korban Pesach with the Gid HaNoshe, it does make anything treif. So after you broil it, you have to cut out the Gid HaNoshe and not eat it. But it's not going to make anything treif. But then the Kesem Mishnah asked a different kasha. The kasha that the Ravid asked that he may treif the whole Korban Pesach because of Gid HaNoshe, that's not a kasha. Ain't the Gid Menais and Tam. But he asked a different kasha that the Ravid should have asked. The Shuman HaGid. The shumen min haTorah, the Gemara says, only the actual gid anosh is asa, and the fat on top of the gid anosh is, strictly speaking, is mutter. But midrabbanon it's asa. So the shumen agid is a machlokes in Rishonim. 2 days in Tosfos and a Mishnah around Tzadik Vav in Chulin. Not in Sochem, a Mishnah in Chulin, that's Tzadik Vav. So Tosfos has two opinions. There's a shumen agid asa. If shumen agid was nesem midrabbanon otu gid, and gid anosh does naser, so maybe it does make sense to be machman shumen agid midrabbanon more than the gid anosh itself. So that's one opinion in Tosfos. And the accepted opinion is not so. The accepted opinion of Shulchan Aruch is, and the Rambam's opinion is like the other view in Tosfos. Even though in the gid and benayis and tam, the gid doesn't give mesinas tam, doesn't aser if you broil the whole carbon pesach with the gid anasha, but the shuman agid will aser the whole carbon pesach. So the Kes Mishnah says that is a kasha. How come the Rambam allows you to broil the carbon pesach? It allows you to broil the carbon pesach with the gid anasha. That doesn't pose any problems of kashas because the gid doesn't aser. If they finish broiling and you cut out the gid anasha and it didn't aser, but the shuman agid will aser. So the Kes Mishnah has a mechudish dike answer that the Prima Gordon quotes la loche and is relevant for other cases. Kes Mishnah answers that in the Gemara in Perikid Anosha they say Shumer Agid is mutter min haTorah, and it never says it's awesome at the Rabbanon. The expression used in the Brisa is Yisrael Kidoshim Noagu Bo Iser. The holy Jewish people, the holy Jewish people, introduced the minig not to eat Gid Anosha. So the Kes Mishnah says it's not even an Iser at the Rabbanon, it's only a minig. So he says, wait a minute, if it's only a minig, here the minig is in conflict with a real din. Here the Torah has a din. You should broil the korban pesach without slicing it into lamb chops before. Rosh al krov al kirboy. You should broil the whole korban pesach intact. You have to broil everything together. So if you would have a real din deraisa that you have to take something out, otherwise it's going to make a treif, like the chutei hadam. You're not zorik all the dam on the mizbeach. You take a kabbalas adam in a klishoris, then you zorik the dam on the mizbeach. But then you have big arteries that when you broil meat, so you don't have to salt the meat. When you broil it, you're going to get all the dam out. But the dam that's in the arteries and the big blood veins, the big blood vessels, that doesn't come out when you broil the animal. So you have to yank out the chutei hadam. So the Rambam says you have to yank it out before you broil the korban pesach, in order that it should make a treif. The dam will make everything treif. So when you have something that's also midina and is going to make the whole korban pesach treif, that's self-understood that that's not a violation of Rosh Val Krov Al Kirboy. You have to broil it intact to the extent that is possible. So whatever is also midina, either midina deraisa, midina derabbanan, you have to remove before you broil it. But the shuman agid is not even also midina; it's only mitam minik. So you can't observe a minik when it's in conflict with the real din. So you have to observe the din. So the Kes Mishnah says, once a year, all the Jews violated the minig of not eating Shuman Agid. On Leil Pesach, when they ate the Korban Pesach, everybody ate the Korban Pesach. That was very gishmak, it was very fatty, and it had the bliyah from the Shuman Agid in it. Why? Because that's the halacha. When a minig is in conflict with a din, so you have to observe the din, you can't observe the minig. Rav Gusman has a tshuva in the end of his Sefer HaKiddushin. That sometimes a married woman has to wait Shemenikim before she goes to mikveh. Sometimes Shemenikim is only a minhug and sometimes it's a real din derabbanan. So he says, in the event that it's only a minhug, and it's because of that minhug that she's unable to become pregnant, because by the time she goes to the mikveh, her cycle is such that she can't become pregnant then. So Rav Gusman writes, based on this Kesa Mishnah, whatever a minig is in conflict with the real din, then you're not allowed to observe the minig. Then you have to observe the real din. So he says there are certain rare cases, you got to figure out when, certain rare cases where the observance of the Shivin Akim is not even the Rabbanan, it's only a minig. So then he says if it's causing the couple to be unable to fulfill the mitzvah Pirav Rivya, so he says that then you should be Mekel. So that you got to know your day. When is the Shiva Nikim only a minig, and when is it a real din der Rabbanan? When is it sometimes it's a real din der Isa? Torah speaks about the Eved eating Korban Pesach. V'chol Eved ish miknas kesef. If you own an Eved, umalta oso oz yochal bo. Eved has to have a bris milah, and then oz yochal bo. Then he can eat. Who can eat? So Rashi quotes a machlokes hatanoim. If you don't mal the Eved Kenani can't eat the Korban Pesach like any other Jew. Called Orel Leyachol Bo. And we don't paskin like that. We paskin. That's pashut. If you're not mal the ebed, of course you can't eat korban pesach. Oz yochabad the odon milas ha'ebed is me'akev the odon milechal b'korban pesach. If the odon owns an ebed k'naini, if he owns an ebed ivri who's not mal himself, that's not the odon's responsibility. The ebed ivri is a free man. Let it be mal himself. What do I have to do with the ebed ivri? But the ebed k'naini that I own, I have more of an ownership on an ebed k'naini. So if I possess an ebed k'naini and he didn't have a bris milah, that's ma'akev the odon milechal b'korban pesach. That's a machlokes hatanaim, and that's how we paskin. Yeah, the Gemara in Yevamos, the Afayinam and Beis, draws a contrast between ebed ivri and ebed k'naini. This din milas ha'eved mi'akev the odon milechal korban pesach. That's only ebed k'naini. The Gemara has another din, and ebed k'naini cannot become a munah on a korban pesach on his own. He has to have authorization from his odon. And Eved Ivri is basically an employee of the odon. He's not owned by the odon, Kishore v'chamor. Eved K'naini is owned by the odon, Kishore v'chamor. So there's a special din, Eved K'naini gufa konui, that he cannot become a munah on a korban pesach unless the odon approves. Eved Ivri is a free man. He can become a munah on the korban pesach even though the odon does not approve. So Tosfos in Yevam Mesayin on the days, the first daf in Perek Ha'oro, Tosfos understood that Gemara as saying that there's only a kinyan iser on an ebed k'naini. When you own an ebed ivri, there's a kinyan mammon, but there's no kinyan iser. There's no kinyan iser on an ebed ivri. So then Tosfos says, but how can it be? But the ebed ivri is muta b'shivcha k'nainis. So doesn't that indicate that there is a kinyan iser? So the Ramban and the Ritva disagree with Tosfos. They say, of course there's a kinyan iser by ebed ivri. There's more of a kinyan iser by ebed k'naini. Ebed k'naini shall koin as echol b'truma. Eviri Shokoin is not Echol B'Trum. Eved K'naini cannot become a Munah on a Korban Pesach unless the Yodon approves. Eved Ivri is a free man. He can become a Munah on his own Korban Pesach. But the Eved Ivri is also, Yodon also has a Kinyan. He said, with respect to the fact that he's Mutah B'Shivcha K'naini. So Tosfos disagrees. Tosfos understood the Gemara Ayin on the base as saying that there is no Kinyan Yisr at all on an Eved Ivri. Either Eved Ivri is Mutah B'Shivcha K'naini. So we had the Rambam, sounds like he said yesterday, we were talking about that Rambam. Rambam sounds like he says that the Yisr Shivcha K'nainis is only Midirabbanon. Raya that it Eved Ivri is Mutah B'Shivcha K'nainis. So if the Rambam really meant what he said, so then there's no issue. Everybody's Mutah B'Shivcha K'nainis Menatar. It's only an Yisr Midirabbanon. But that's a problematic Rambam. Everybody assumes that the Yisr Shivcha K'nainis is an Yisr Deraisa, but Eved Ivri is Mutah. So isn't that a dead giveaway that there is a Kinyan Yisr by Eved Ivri as well? So Tosfos gives a strange answer, a nine on the base. Tosfos answers, no, there's no Kinyan Iser on an Eved Ivri, but the whole Iser of Boal HaShivcha K'nainis is only because La'yeh Kodesh Mebnei Yisrael. You're not allowed to live, you're not allowed to have marital relations with a woman if you didn't have Tvisis Kiddushin. It's a Pani HaBoal HaPnuya, it's Ein Kiddushin Tovsin between the Yisrael and the Shivcha K'nainis. So that's why Yisrael is also a Shivcha K'nainis, because it's Kiddushus. Le'yeh Kodesh B'nai Yisrael. Jewish man is not allowed to sleep with the Shivcha K'nainis, because it's Ein Kiddushin Tovsin, so it's a Bi'az Nus. So Tosfos says, it's only a Bi'az Nus if you choose on your own to do like that. I decide I want to live with the Shivcha K'nainis. So don't live. Marry a regular girl. Don't live with the Shivcha K'nainis. But if you're an Eved Ivri, and the Torah gives the Odon authorization to force you to work for him, so the Odin has the right to force you to live with the Shivcha K'nainis because he wants to have lotus. If the Shivcha K'nainis will have children, so the children will be avodim and shvachas to the owner, to the Odin. So Tosfos says, since the Odin, Rabba Mosel of Shivcha K'nainis, Bal Korchoi, so therefore, there's no Issa of Lo Yeh Kodesh, because he's not doing it, he didn't decide on his own to do it. The Odin forced him into doing it. There's a discussion in the later Achrayim. Is an Eved Ivri Mutah B'Shivcha K'nainis on his own? He fell in love. The Odon doesn't care. He wants to sleep with the Shivcha K'nainis. Or is he only Mutah if Rabba Moser lo Shivcha K'nainis? So the Pashtus is that that's a Machlekes HaRishayim. The Tosfos holds it's only Mutah if Rabba Moser lo Shivcha K'nainis. That Tosfos in Yevam is Zayin on the base. And the Ramban disagrees. The Ramban and the Ritva disagree with the favorite. They say, no, there's a Kinyan Iser on an Eved Ivri, And even if ain't Rabbi Moshe lo Shivcha Ktanis, mutar on his own to live with the Shivcha Ktanis. That's part of the halacha, that there's a Kenyan Iser on the Eved Ivri.
Why is it the fact that the Adam can give him a Shivcha Ktanis when he chose those, why is that not called the Kenyan Iser?
The Odin has a right to make him work whatever job he wants. So this is another job. So since he's doing it in the line of duty, if the Eved is going to be Mechal Shabbos in the line of duty, what do you mean? Chilul Shabbos, Chilul Shabbos. If I want him to be a wine taster and I tell him I want you to eat treif for wine, that's an Aveira. So the Odin has no right to do that. But here, the whole nature of the Yisr, Tosfos says, is Le'yeh Kodesh. Kodesh means if you're having an affair with a single girl, Hefker, it's Hefker. See, if it's not Hefker, he's doing it in the line of duty. If I'm on my own, it's not in the line of duty. But here, since the Odon, the Torah gives the Odon the right to demand of the Eved, he should be with the Shivcha Ktanis in order to have Lodos. So therefore, it's in the line of duty. So by definition, there's no Iser at all.
So maybe you could say, by it means that as far as by a Chazi Eved Chazi Vachorin, to be with the Shivcha Ktanis in order to be in the time period with the Odon, because
yeah, if he'll live with the Shiv HaKnainis, the Vladim, all the Vladis will be Avadim. He won't be Yotze anything. Yeah.
But so.
That's what we thought yesterday. The whole Kasha of Taisus, why not say Esad Dachal Esas only was, let him take a Jewish girl, a Baschur, and not let him take a Shiv HaKnainis. Take a Shiv HaKnainis, so the children will all be Avadim, so for sure he won't be Yotze the Mitzvah period. Right. The whole Taisus Kasha only was, he should take a bas chayrin. And again, the kash was on the assumption that a chatziyev of a chatz mechayrin has yorshim.
Right.
That he has yorshim. If he has no yorshim, it's a vayta, they're not related. He's not yotzei
in the mitzvah. But theoretically, if there's any tzorech for Israel to be with the Shivcha Ktanis, and it wouldn't be after, according to Tosfos, it would be mochet.
A chiddush? Yeah, that's what Tosfos writes, a chiddush.
Doesn't the Rambam say that if the Adon has shvachos that bring tovo or gerus, that they're also...
Also included, the Rambam quotes at Tosef the Imsachim that not only Milas HaEved is Ma'akev the Odom Yilechel B'Korban Pesach, not only Milas HaEved, let's say the Odom has a Shivcha Ktanis who wasn't yet Toivo L'Shem Geirus. So the Rambam quotes at Tosef that too is included in this din, that Milas HaEved is Me'akvos HaMilechel B'Korban Pesach, so who adinam Tfilas HaMhoisov is Me'akev Milechel B'Korban Pesach. Yeah. So Chiddush. What's a tesefta like that? Yeah. We have in the two parshios at the end, Kadesh v'yokiv yachad, two of the four parshios that appear in the tefillin. So you have the mitzvah pidyon haben. The daf yomi people just finished Maseches Bechoris. So the eighth perek in Bechoris has all of the dinim, has not all of the dinim, 95% of the dinim are pidyon haben. 5% are always somewhere else in Shas. But it has most of the dinim appear there. How much do you have to give for the purpose of pidyon haben? So the din is you have to give 5 shkolim. How much is 5 shkolim? They have to look in kiddushin yud beis amud aleph. The gemara gives you the whole monetary system that existed bizman ha'tanoim. So the gemara says, Rashi explains this, just plain arithmetic. You have kuf tzadik beis prutas, 192 prutas in every dinar. And there are 4 dinarim in a shekel, and then there are 5 shkolim for pidyon haben. So if you multiply 192 prutas times 4. Because the 4 dinarim in a shekel, and then multiply that times 5. So make it easy, 192 kuf tzarek beis prutas in a dinar, multiply 192 times 20, because 5 times 4 is going to be 20. So 192 times 20 is going to be 1920 times 2, it's going to be 3840. So pidyon haben, you have to give 3,840 prutas. So if a pruta would have been a penny, so you have to give $38.40. Is a pruta a penny? So the Gemara in Kiddushin there, on that daf, you'd base them out. The Gemara had, one of the Amoraim thought mistakenly that a pruta means the smallest coin, smallest denomination in the monetary system. So then a pruta would be a penny in America. Yeah, but that's not accepted. The Gemara rejects it, it's not so. So what is a pruta? So the Gemara never tells you, what is a pruta? The Gemara said, one of the Amoraim thought mistakenly the smallest coin. So what is the answer? So the Gaonim have a tradition. The Ramban wrote Just like the Chafetz Chaim wrote Likutei Halachos on the Mesichtes, but there's no riff. So the Ramban didn't have a riff on the Dorim. We have a riff on the Dorim. Ramban didn't have a riff on the Dorim, so he wrote Hilchas the Dorim. So in our Gemara, they have them printed one next to the other, the Ramban and the riff. There is a riff on the Dorim. So he didn't have it, so he wrote the Ramban. And then we have the Ramban on Maseches Pchoiris. He didn't do on those parts that were only Kotshim. He didn't do. He left that for the Chofetz Chaim to write. Likutei Halachos. So the Ramban and Hilchas Becharis only wrote on Hilchas Chala, because on that Chab Zayin there are a lot of dinim of Chala in Maseches Becharis, and then on the eighth parak is all about Pidyon Aben. So the whole Ramban only has two parts basically on Becharis: dinim Chala, Hilchas Chala la Ramban, and the dinim of Pidyon Aben. So the Ramban there quotes a tradition from the Gaonim: how much is a pruta? It's not the smallest coin. How much is a pruta? So he says Mishkal Chatzis Seora Kesev Zakuk. It's the value of pure silver that is the weight of a half of a barley grain, average size barley grain. Mishkal chatzi seora kesev zakuk. The weight of a, you have to have a scale. So on one side of the scale, you take a barley grain, you cut it in half, and you put it on one side of the scale. You have to have quite a duck as thick a scale. So you put a half of a chatzi seora on this side, and then you put silver on the other side. So you have to put so much silver that it should weigh the same as Mishkal Chatzisor. It's very high. How are you going to measure that? So you have to do a lot. So let's say Pidyon Aben has to be, what did we just say? It has to be 3,840. So 3,840 prutas. So how many barley grains is that? That's every pruta is a half of the weight of a half a barley grain. So that's going to be 1920. So get 1,920 barley grains. It'll average itself out. Mistama? You have to have an average barley grain. So if you have 1,000 and have 1,920 on one side of the scale, the mistama will be 3,840 chatzi barley grains. And then the silver on the other side of the scale will be the value of the silver on the other side of the scale. That's going to be how much you have to give for Pidyon Aben. So how much does that weigh? 1,920 barley grains, average size barley grains. So the Chazon Ish writes, that's assumed based on what it says in Hilchos Pidyon Aben. That's 96 grams of pure silver. So the Chazon Ish writes, the Minhag Olam is that you give 100 grams to round it up. Others disagree, they say he's supposed to give 101 grams. But basically, the sheet of the Chazon Ish was accepted. You got to give, Mikra Din, you give 96 grams of pure silver. So years ago, silver was normal. So Pidyon Aben was way less than $38.40. So a pruta was less than a penny. But now, 96 grams of pure silver is almost $100. You got it, like almost $100. So pruta is way more. It's over 2 pennies. A pruta is more than 2 pennies. It used to be less than 1 penny. The value of a pruta keeps on fluctuating. The value of a pruta depends on the value of silver. So the 96 grams of pure silver, that's going to be 3840 prutas. So that's how much you're supposed to give for the Pidyon Aben. The value of silver keeps on fluctuating. So the Gemara says on the first daf in Perek HaZohav, the right Perek, Perek HaZohav, the Yerushalmi has its Perek HaKesef. The Yerushalmi has the Girsaf HaKer. HaKesef Kenes HaZohav, HaZohav Einu Kenes HaKesef. The Babli talks about the two Girsas, the old Girsa, the new Girsa. Rabbi Yudah Nasi changed the Girsa in the Mishnah. So the first daf in Babli, in Perek HaZohav, so the Gemara says, once you establish Pidyon Aben, it stays the same. It doesn't keep on fluctuating. So that's a machlokes, a major machlokes. What does that mean? So Moshe Feinstein says, in 1776, when they did Hakamas HaMedina, George Washington, from the Ovis HaKadoshim, when he made the Hakamas HaMedina, and they established the monetary system, so whatever 96 grams of pure silver was worth at that time, it remains like that, le'olam v'od. That's the amount of money. Unless they changed the monetary system. So they did. There were several major changes in the monetary system. What's considered a major change? So that's a whole sugi in the end of Bava Kamma and the tzaddiks. What's considered a major change? So according to Ramosha, if you give $5, it's way more than enough for Pidyon Aben. That's what he writes. If you give $5, it's way more than enough. Because in the days of...
Wasn't the dollar worth a lot more?
Yeah. But he says that since the money retains the same value al pidin, commodities fluctuate in value. Money al pidin stays the same, even though the money is devaluated. So he says al pidin, though, the money stays the same. So Moshe says that it's determined in the days of 1776, Hakamas HaMedina, whenever they established the Medina. And he has a whole tshuva when the communists took over Russia from the Tsar, so they converted the monetary system. So he had a whole machlokes by Bechetzkel Abramsky, how much you have to give for opinion at them purposes after the communists took over. But Moshe has this unusual opinion, and he says you have to convert whatever it used to be to the new monetary system and see what's the conversion table. And Rav Moshe's opinion is, I think now it's the minority opinion. That I think the Chazon Ish took over. The Chazon Ish says not that it's established in 1776 b'shas Hakamas HaMedina, how much is Pidyon HaBen. Every baby, when he reaches Yom Lamed Aleph, you have to figure out how much are 96 grams of pure silver that day. So in America, let's say the baby was born a month ago, and today the 96 grams of pure silver is, let's say, $97. So even if the kid doesn't give the pinyon aden till he's 80 years old, he has to give $96. However much it was on the day of Yom Laman Aleph, that stays the same. Not you establish the monetary system, and once you establish it, it remains li'olam void like that. Most assume that it does. Most assume, I think, like the Chazon Ish, you establish it on the Yom Laman Aleph. There's another machlokes in the Gemara. They give pinyon aden on the Yom Lamed. It says v'duy meben chodesh tifte. The Chodesh means on the Yom Lamed or the Yom Lamed Aleph. So we paskan on the Yom Lamed Aleph. The Gemara says, Mikir Adin Pidyon HaBen can be done by Yom or Balaylo. It's not a mitzvah, says the Sazman Groma. The fact that the women are potter is based on a pasuk. But it can be done by Yom or Balaylo. Nonetheless, the minig is that you only do Pidyon HaBen by Yom. So that's a whole discussion. What is that minig based on? Why do you do the Pidyon HaBen by Yom? So the Shach writes innocently that the reason why we insist on doing Pinyon HaBen by Yom, because we have a minig that we give a suda. And the Gemara says in the last parak in Yuma that blind people who can't see the food don't enjoy it as much as people who can see the food. So since you want to give a suda and at night it's dark and the people won't enjoy the food, so that's why we have the Pinyon HaBen by Yom, that they should enjoy the meal. So if you have a wedding hall and they turn on lights, Laila Kayom Yoyer, at nighttime it's just as light as it is in the daytime, then according to the Shach's explanation, that wouldn't pose any problem having the opinion of Ben Balayla. So nonetheless, the minig usually is that people avoid having Balayla because there are other reasons. So one of the other reasons they give is that there's one opinion in the Rishonim which we do not paskin like, one opinion in the Rishonim that's quoted, and Shach quotes it, that Pidyon HaBen doesn't depend Yom Lamed, Yom Lamed Aleph, it depends on Chav Tes Yom Yud Beis Shuas Tash Tzak Chalokim, the approximate amount of time. It's the approximate, it's not precise, it fluctuates based on physics, the amount of time between the Moilad Halavana from 1 month to the Moilad Halavana of the next month. It's not accurate, but it's the approximate amount. So that's 29 days, 12 hours, and Tash Tzag Halokim. What is a Tash Tzag is what? 793 Halokim. What is a Chalok? 1/18th of an hour.
Well, 1/10/80th.
Is what?
1/10/80th.
1/1080th of an hour. Whoa.
Which is about 1/18th of a minute.
1/18th of a minute. So you got to figure out how much that is. Okay. So there is an opinion that you don't have to wait till. It's not an issue of Yom Lamed, Yom Lamed Aleph. It all depends on this amount of time. You have to know exactly what minute was the baby born. When you have 29 days and 12 hours and these 793 halakim, so then you can do the Pidyon HaBen. So very often, let's say if the baby was born in the summertime where the days are very late, the baby was born late in the day, so sometimes you'll wait till the 31st day, it's still not 29 and a half days, so you still have to wait into the 31st day. So some Achranim say that that's the reason why they introduced the minik to have the Pidyon HaBen by Yom, to try to be machmer for that opinion in the Rishonim, that you should always wait till 29 and a half days gone by. If you do Le'el Lamed Aleph, so a lot of times you'll be doing it too early. If the baby was born towards the end of the day, on the day he was born, so then if you do Le'el Lamed Aleph, it'll be too early. Rav Moshe has a tshuva, if it's a Shas HaTchak, so you do it on Le'el Lamed Aleph. I remember there was a couple in the neighborhood, the woman was a secretary in the yeshiva across the street in the office of IBC, so they had a grandchild, and the baby was born, and the Pidyon HaBen was supposed to take place on a Friday morning, and it was a short Friday in the middle of the winter. No one would show up if they would have had the pinyan ben mu'ar. Everybody had to go to work. They had to leave work at the 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So no one would be able to come to the pinyan ben. So Rabbi Schwab told them that they can have the pinyan ben le'lamed aleph. So they were mekel. They had it balayr. Moshe also has certain cases. Were mekel to have the pinyan ben mu'ar. So the Daf Yomi people just completed Chorus, and that's what you have. The bulk of the dinim opinion are better on the eighth parish in Chorus. For sure there is. Yeah, for sure there is. It's not right. The common practice is that they wait till the end of the day. So this Dechemin writes, it's not really right. You should have it earlier. It's even preferable to do Zriz Magdimim over Beroy Vam Hadras Melech, even though you know more people will attend. If you have it later in the day, people after work, they'll come. So he quotes from the Gemara Rosh Hashanah that the Hidur of Ziz Magdimim really takes precedence over the Hidur of Beroy Vam Hadras Melech.
But that wouldn't be enough of a reason to do it at night, if night was the earliest time you could do it?
Could be. Yeah, could be. Very good. Okay. This Shabbos, I'm going to give the Shir on Parsha on Shabbos morning, so I'll have to discuss something other than what we discussed now. Everyone is invited.